Hello, this is Reverend Judith Laxer. Wherever you are on our precious Mother Earth, thank you for listening to the podcast of our service entitled Exalt the Women. My wish is that the food for thought offered brings great nourishment for your soul. Our ministry for the Goddess is supported solely by those like you who partake of its teachings. If you feel served by listening, please push the donate button now and give generously. We'd be most grateful. Thank you, and blessed be. All right. So, my friends, this past Friday was International Women's Day. Hence the title of this service, Exalt the Women. To exalt means to uplift or uphold someone or something in very high regard, to think of or speak very highly of. And it also means to raise to a higher rank or position of greater power. Can I get a blessed be?
Blessed be.
I will be doing that all day today in this service. International Women's Day is global. It is a day celebrating the social, economic, political, and cultural achievements of women. And it has also become a day when we mark the call to action for gender parity. The history of this holiday is one that is common in how secular holidays get established. There's a protest due to some injustice, which sparks a movement, and then the anniversary of the beginning of that movement becomes the secular holiday. And there are two sources cited for the beginning of International Women's Day. One is the 1909 garment workers' strike in New York City, which grew out of women's rallying for women's suffrage, which was better working conditions and the right to vote. And then in 1910, when German activist Clara Zetkin suggested to the International Conference of Working Women in Copenhagen, she suggested the creation of an international holiday to honor women. So clearly this movement began at the beginning of the 20th century. And here we are, over a century later, and women are still fighting for equal rights. It's ridiculous. We are still fighting for the rights to our own bodies, the right for equal pay for equal work, and equal position in the workplace. Now, despite all the progress that we have made, and we have made some, we've come a long way, baby. Remember that commercial? Some of you are too young to remember that commercial. It was a cigarette commercial. Remember those? We are barely out of the woods when it comes to equality for women, safety for women, sovereignty for women, and justice for women. Perhaps here in our sweet little progressive bubble, you know, where we worship the goddess, and so we understand the beauty and the power and the intelligence of the feminine that is inherent in each one of us, regardless of our biology. We might believe that we are close to that goal because of this beautiful bubble that we are in, close to ending the injustice of women's plight, but I am sad to say we are not. The overturning of Roe versus Wade is just one example of the story that endures when it comes to women's rights. We make some progress, and then it's either taken away from us or it's dumbed down in one way or another, and we somehow never quite reach the permanent level that we are striving for. It amazes me that in our point in history, in 2024, women are still fighting for their sovereignty, still fighting for the right to make decisions about their own bodies, their own lives, and their own choices. That there are still countries where women can't even leave their homes without being in the presence of a man. That education is withheld from women. That their bodies are mutilated to ensure they never know the power of their bliss. And I could talk for hours on all the theories about why and how this state of being came into being in the first place, but to what avail? Sometimes sourcing a problem is necessary to solve it, but this? We only need to recognize how ridiculous it is to uphold a faulty model for our world and correct it. All of the things that we associate with the feminine, motherhood and mothering, intuitive knowing, nurturing, caring, softness, creativity, receptivity, sensitivity, magnetism, these are not only beautiful, but they're necessary. And as our world spins out an overabundance of the opposite, as the world spills over with the opposite of these beautiful sensibilities, as it seems to be doing now and has been for a very long time, those feminine qualities couldn't be more important. I know I'm preaching to the choir here, but I'm preaching anyway. When these qualities are balanced in the world, we hold good boundaries and demonstrate compassion. We remain strong as well as kind. We utilize our beautiful masculine energy of taking action and direct it toward fairness, not supremacy. We temper our fears with trust. We have an easier time keeping the faith because we believe in wholeness. As long as this disparity against women exists, I will, in one way or another, be standing up here and calling it out. And hopefully, at the same time, my words will continue to call in equality, equity, inclusion, and like mothers everywhere, unconditional love. Calling in the desire for unity, for unifying, not besting. Now, we cannot deny that women have been categorically withheld from as much power as men have held in this world for quite a very long time. And we are, all of us, deeply wounded by that. Women are, yes, but all of us have been. All of us have been wounded by male supremacy. Every single one of us on planet Earth. Patriarchy has done its damage to all of us. No one is exempt. And a part of what patriarchy does or teaches us is to be stoic, you know? Especially about our emotional and mental suffering. Physical pain? Sure. Take a pain reliever, go to the doctor, see what you can do, do whatever you can to numb yourself out. Completely understandable. But emotional pain? Psychological pain? Mental suffering? Shame on us. We're shamed, either openly or insidiously. Because emotional and mental pain has gotten thrown into the despised category of softness. And softness is not prized in supremacy. Softness is considered weakness in supremacist ideology because weakness equals failure. What a racket. What a setup. But what the goddess teaches us is that healing happens and strength is restored when we admit to our suffering and tend to it. Not whine and complain and not do anything, but admit to the suffering we are feeling and then tend to it. Perhaps you might remember when you were a little kid and you hurt yourself that you went running to mommy for comfort. Now, I know not all of us had mothers who were there to comfort us. So perhaps there was another woman like a mother to you, to whom you could run and be enveloped in her arms as she wiped away your tears and gave, you know, like a big sister, an auntie, a family friend, someone who tended to you, who gave you sweet kisses and rubbed the boo-boo and put a Band-Aid and a kiss on it. I hope there was some woman like that who could help you in that way. Before we learned how we were supposed to respond to getting hurt, we just felt the ache of the wound and we sought comfort, which is the beginning of healing. It's a pure and correct response to feeling pain of any kind. And there are many kinds of aches. If someone hurt our feelings or things didn't go the way we wanted them to, we sought comfort from the pain when we were still very small humans. We didn't think about it. It was a natural response to seek comfort as the beginning of a healing process. Now, as mature spiritual beings, the goddess is that mother, the great mother of us all, no matter our gender or gender identity, no matter our age, no matter what kind of ache we have that needs healing comfort, she is the mother who can comfort, and we can offer our aches up to her. We must remember that at the worst of it, we can offer our pain to the Great Mother. And in doing so, we will be comforted. Now, patriarchy will tell us that comfort is for the weak. And that if we do that, we are selfish. But goddess people, goddess worshipers, understand that it is not selfish to heal, because then we are strong and whole and healthy, and we create a better world. There could be nothing stronger than that. There is nothing weak in that. We must remember that comfort is part of healing, and it's okay to seek it out. We must remember that the goddess, great goddess mother, possesses so much strength in every way, more than we ever will. And so it's okay to trust that, and it's okay to lean into her a little bit, to offer our aches up so that we can heal. We're not burdening the mother. We're afraid we might be a burden if we're not perfect. Have you ever met anyone who was perfect? It's a racket. It's a setup. We must recognize it for what it is. Ridiculous. Untrue. A patriarchal lie. The Great Mother of us all is big enough, strong enough to hold our pain. She provides everything for us, including comfort. Our job is to take ever better care of her, and we can only do that if we're healthy enough to do it. That's the reciprocity. She needs us to be healed and whole, so we continue to work for a heal and whole world, a world where the feminine is not disparaged, not devalued, and not oppressed any longer. You know, I suspected this, that when the pandemic was over, and I know that COVID still threatens our health and it is still among us, but we're no longer at pandemic status. So I knew that when the pandemic was over, we were going to need great healing. Like, we needed it while it was happening, certainly, but after, the after effects, now it seems the further away we go from it, from those three almost crazy years of isolation and division and fear and danger of illness, which was so threatening. We're constantly looking over our shoulder and nervous about everything for 3 years. The more we are realizing just how much healing we require, we need to recover from that. That's a healing process. And yes, we need healing from the physical ravages of this virus, but we also need the emotional healing and the psychological healing and the spiritual healing. And not just from the pandemic, but from all the ills and troubles and wars and danger that we face in our world today. All the aches that we feel in our bodies, in our hearts, in our minds, and in our souls, these are the ones we can and should offer up to her. So, we're premiering a beautiful new chant that Oriel Leighton has created that came through her today. And so we're going to start the drumbeat on this. And I'm going to pass this basket of flower petals. And I'm going to ask each one of you to take one and pass it along. When the basket comes up front, we'll take it from there. Thank you.
to heal it. We feel it, but then remember to offer the ache. Remember to offer the ache to heal it. We feel it, but then remember to offer the ache. Remember to offer the ache. The healing begins in the moment we offer the ache.
Remember to offer the ache.
The healing begins in the moment we offer the ache.
Remember to offer the ache.
Remember to offer the ache. We heal when we offer the ache.
Remember to offer the ache.
We heal when we offer the ache.
Remember to offer the ache.
Remember to offer the ache. To heal it, we feel it, but then
remember to offer the ache.
Remember to offer the ache. To heal it, we feel it, but then
remember to offer the ache.
Remember to offer the ache. The healing begins in the moment we offer the ache.
Remember to offer the ache.
The healing begins in the moment we offer the ache.
Remember to offer the ache.
Remember to offer the ache. We heal when we offer the ache.
Remember to offer the ache.
We heal when we offer the ache.
Remember to offer the ache.
Remember to offer the ache.
So I'm going to lead us through a guided visualization now. So if you close your eyes and go within, take a nice deep breath once more. Reconnect with your grounding cord that we sent down at the beginning of the service. If you came in after that, go ahead and ground yourself now. Bring your attention now inside. Bring it up to your third eye. Imagine it like an actual eye, like your other two. Go ahead and open it up and look out through it into your imagination. And find yourself standing before the altar in the Holy of Holies in the temple of the goddess. Perhaps it's a temple you remember from a past life. Perhaps it's one you visited at an ancient ruin. Perhaps it's your own backyard or the altar you keep at home. You find yourself now in a place you can only call holy, because here, in your soul, you can feel the holiness. This place is sacred, and like all sanctuaries, it is safe. You feel safe here before the altar in the Holy of Holies. And on the floor beside the altar is a basket of rose petals, and they smell so fresh and sweet, and they look so beautiful. So in your imagination now, go ahead and pick up one of the flower petals, and there it is in your hand. Now in this place of safety, you are also safe to be yourself. There's no one to be stoic for, no one to impress, nothing to prove. Here you can feel and allow yourself to become soft. You are safe to be soft as you really are. Be soft now. And as you soften, you notice the ache within you. In this softened state, your ache is easy to feel. It actually feels like a bit of relief to allow yourself to feel it so fully in your loving softness. It might be a physical ache from a bodily injury. It might be an emotional ache like a heartbreak. It might be a mental ache like a disturbing thought that haunts you, or a spiritual ache like the one you feel when you lose hope. It might be the ache you're carrying for another or for the world. Take a moment now and simply feel the ache, knowing this is the beginning of healing it. Gently feel your ache now. Locate it within you, gently and with love. Simply feel it. Now you've located it within you. So imagine that the suffering you feel from this ache becomes pure energy, and it races from wherever it is within you into your hands and then into the rose petal. It transfers in, pouring into the petal that you're holding. Sense and feel the ache entering the petal now. And you notice how the ache within you lessens a bit because it's entered the petal. So on the next few breaths, just keep filling the petal with this pain. Good, now take a nice deep breath once more. And let the image fade and gently open your eyes and come back here into this sanctuary where we are together. And in a moment, we're going to resume singing this chant. And when you feel ready, I'd like you to come on up to the altar here and offer your ache with the pain that is in the petal into the green bottle before the Great Mother Goddess on our altar. Know that as you do, you are offering the ache to her and that she can take it to bring you some comfort. The Great Mother is here with us, and it's time to offer it up.
To heal it, we feel it, but then remember to offer the ache, remember to offer the ache. To heal it, we feel it, but then remember to offer the ache, remember to offer the ache. The healing begins in the moment we offer the ache.
Remember to offer the ache.
The healing begins in the moment we offer the ache.
Remember to offer the ache. Remember to offer the ache.
We heal when we offer the ache.
Remember to offer the ache.
We heal when we offer the ache.
Remember to offer the ache. Remember to offer the ache.
To heal it, we feel it, but then
remember to offer the ache, remember to offer the ache.
To heal it, we feel it, but then
remember to offer the ache, remember to offer the ache.
The healing begins in the moment we offer the ache.
Remember to offer the ache.
The healing begins in the moment we offer the ache.
Remember to offer the ache. Remember to offer the ache.
We heal when we offer.
remember to offer the ache.
We heal when we offer the ache.
Remember to offer the ache. Remember to offer the ache.
To heal it, we feel it, but then remember to offer the ache, remember to offer the ache. To heal it, we feel it, but then remember to offer the ache, remember to offer the ache. The healing begins in the moment we offer the ache.
Remember to offer the ache.
The healing begins in the moment we offer the ache.
Remember to offer the ache. Remember to offer the ache.
We heal when we offer the ache.
Remember to offer the ache.
We heal when we offer the ache.
Remember to offer the ache. Remember to offer the ache.
Remember to offer the ache. Remember to offer the ache. Remember to offer the ache. Remember to offer the ache.
When we feel like the pain of the world is throbbing within us, and it aches, and we ache, and the ache is bone deep, we can offer it up. Offer it up to ease the suffering. We don't have to carry it all. We can offer it up so we can heal back into our strength, so we can take the energy going into besting others and redirect it into easing suffering. The world as it is now, in the world as it is now, we know the feminine, the goddess, and exalting the women is necessary to balance the divisive, competitive behavior of besting, which is the power-hungry fuel behind every conflict and every war. We know it's time to stop it in its tracks and bring healing. We know that as surely as we know that night follows day. When we offer our aches up to the Great Mother, everything about that reorients us to exalting the feminine in the world, in exalting the women of the world who are practiced at nurturing and unifying, the women practiced at meeting needs, not causing them, not winning, not having the lion's share, women who want all children, not just their own, to be cared for and cherished. We must exalt the women who are practiced at living their lives by nurturing others with compassion and the desire to unify so all needs are met instead of competing for supremacy. This is very clear. It's very clear. Most women on this planet are not practiced at supremacy. And those women who are aiming for supremacy and supporting supremacy on planet Earth right now have not yet awoken to the true calling of our times. They have been conditioned, brainwashed, to believe that they must ally with supremacists in order to save themselves from suffering its wrath. Or they are so selfish that they would rather have all the benefits of supremacy for themselves rather than share it. And I would hope by now that women have evolved beyond thinking that their only moral option is having a sugar daddy. That's one way to think of the patriarchy, as a sugar daddy who gets to decide who is suffering and whose suffering is eased. Now, what I mean by exalting the women is something like this. Imagine with me, if you will, that we flip the script just for the sake of a new perspective. Let's flip the script and imagine how the world would be, how it would change, beginning immediately, if the women of the world held power at the same level as the men do now. Imagine that women, the ones who lead from their hearts, not their pockets, the ones who do no harm, who refuse to send their children to kill another mother's children, who repudiate war, the ones who are not afraid to sit in council with one another, to listen and to hear, to share their bounty and resources so everyone's needs are met, the ones who are willing to bury hatchets thrown by men ages ago, the patient ones who are willing to implement far-sighted protocols with peace and love and healing and a little bit of rock and roll at their core. Those women are in power. Women whose voices have been labeled emotional, as if that's a bad thing, silly, sentimental, foolish, ridiculous, and high maintenance, are now free to express. Women who are not ashamed or humiliated to watch over the vulnerable, to care for those less fortunate, to remain present in a difficult situation. Women who have cleaned up messes for so long, they know how to prevent them. Women in power, fully empowered, wielding power, pure feminine power, intuitive power, in charge, at the helm of every household, every school, every business, every religion and government. Women, the policymakers. Wise women, old women, bleeding women, goddess mothers, women's wisdom, the new order of the day. Women's wisdom holds sway. That's a headline I want to see. Imagine that, my friends, and be inspired by the vision that this healing will bring. A vision like that inspires me. And when I'm inspired, I'm energized. And when I'm energized, it's easier for me to take action. Imagining a world where women are completely empowered is wonderful, but we must manifest it, not just imagine it. We begin manifesting a world where women are exalted. We hire them. We give them an opportunity to lead. We put them on the ballot and we vote them in. We ask for their wisdom and then we follow it. We will create balance this way. We will create balance in our world this way. This is the way. I do not doubt it. Now, I doubt we need to have women at the helm of everything in order to do this, but the more women we do, the faster I believe we will achieve this healthy balance. I truly believe this is the right way forward, which is the only way I can have the ovaries to stand up here and say it like this. Women who are seeking positions of power also need to do their work, right? It's not like we thought it was back in the 1970s in the women's liberation movement where all we thought we had to do was put on a tie and join the workforce. Because we've all been raised under patriarchy, we must seriously examine our motives and our methods. We don't want to emulate and do to others what was done for us. We must find our courage to create and follow policies of compassion and healing at the forefront. Now listen, this is hard work. It's really hard work, but it's good work. It's the work that needs to be done now. It's good soul work. It's good karma. It's good for the future. There could be nothing better than that. And we must all of us do it. All of us do it. It's simply too dangerous to ignore this call any longer. Making offerings at a holy altar to spirit in all of her forms is an ancient practice. Take it up. Take it up again. Let's resurrect that practice of making offerings at the altar. It connects us from the mundane to the spiritual. It reminds us that that spirit is there, ever present, and we are deeply connected. I bring a sprig of rosemary in from my garden and put it on my altar regularly as an offering to the goddess. It's my way of telling her I'll never forget her, and I will never forget my charge to her in this lifetime. And I do. I offer my pain to the goddess a lot. Who better than she to understand the plight of women? Who's stronger than she to take some of it off my shoulders so I can be effective in that charge? There is no weakness in offering up the ache. It's the strongest and wisest thing we can do, because as we heal the world. There's no separation. Your healing is the healing of the world. It is not selfish. Patriarchy tells us it's selfish if we focus on our own healing, but that is one of its great short-sightednesses. Let's not participate in that. Exalting the feminine means we understand that the energy of healing is always flowing in abundance, and we are happy to share it. Now, the vernal equinox is fast approaching. It actually falls on my 65th birthday. Mm-hmm. March 19th. Yay, Medicare. When the sun goes into Aries at 8:06 p.m., I'm actually a Pisces, it falls on that day, actually, it's early this year because of the leap year. Anyway, but the equinox is one of the two sacred earth holy days of equal day and equal night. And the vernal or the green equinox occurs just before this one, just before we enter into the light half of the wheel of the year. The equinoxes cause us to contemplate balance and to see how we can create more balance in our lives and in our world. Offering up the ache is part of that. Feeling the pain and offering up to the Great Mother, whose compassion is big enough to take it for us, who can ease our suffering so we can heal and be strong in our exaltation. So we can grip the steering wheel of our world and have the strength to steer us away from the dangers that we are facing and toward a way of peace instead. Exalt every woman you know, my friends, not just on an International Women's Day weekend, but all the time and from here on out. Blessed be. So this is where we open up our floor for community prayers. And so if you